folks, welcome to this month's episode of Real Geeks, where we take our first sojourn into anime without our anime expert, as we discuss Alita Battle Angel, or as some may also call it, James Cameron's ego trip that may be the biggest flop of 2019.
You didn't like it?
We're gonna get to that.
All reports, everyone's... People that I'm connected to on Facebook that have seen it are like, oh my god, you have to go see it. Oh my god, I have to go read the manga now. And oh my god, it was so awesome. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I didn't quite get there. So I'm glad I'm not the only
I say this because reports are that, like, right now it's tracking to open at about somewhere, I think, between $28 and $35 million domestically.
Okay.
And about $70 million worldwide.
See, I can't even imagine those numbers normally.
It was never a $200 million budget?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they might not make that then.
Yeah, it would have had to open a lot higher.
Okay.
Now, so the basic plot, or the one that I'm going to pull from IMDb anyway, or one of them, a deactivated female cyborg is revived but cannot remember anything of her past life and goes on a quest to find out who she is. Or at least that's one of the stories, because there was like four.
Yeah, that's kind of a vague description for the movie.
Act one of this movie is post-apocalyptic Pinocchio.
Yes.
Act two is Rollerball for some reason.
I keep wanting to call it Murderball.
And the fact that they call it Motorball,
I know,
probably didn't help.
I'm trying to explain the whole movie to my daughter, and I'm like, I want to say Murderball. I know that's not the right phrase. So yeah, it's yeah. Motorball.
And then act three goes a little Matrix-y, a little standard... rising up from the ashes to overthrow the system, yada, yada, yada. And that's kind of one of the biggest problems here, because in large part because apparently it pulls from the first four books of the original manga?
It does. It pulls the first four of nine, and I believe I read that they're planning, if it goes well, to do three more?
I heard Cameron says he wants to do two more sequels.
Okay.
He also thinks people want five more avatars. So by the time we get these Alita sequels, we may be dead anyway. Because...
But it's not Cameron doing all of it.
No. Alita was very much a dream project of Cameron's.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been, like you said, he's been so busy with the Avatar sequels that, dude, seriously, why? Why?
I haven't even gotten past the first one, sorry.
Yeah, most people, I think really, even if they got past the first one, it's like, okay, I'm good. But he basically was like, you know what, Robert? I can't direct this, so if you can put this together, go ahead and do it, I'll produce it, and so forth.
And apparently he brought, I was checking at the IMDb, and there was comment that he took some parts of what had been written out, and James either didn't notice or didn't see that there was
yeah.
a problem with those missing, and that's what they went with, which explains why I kind of felt like I was constantly having to catch up. So, yeah.
Well, I think also you were probably feeling that way because there's a lot in this movie that happens for the sake of plot convenience and nothing else.
Yeah.
So, Rosa Salazar stars as Alita. I'm like 90% sure this is her first leading role. But if you've followed any dystopian YA franchise that's not The Hunger Games, you've seen her at some point. Because apparently she has credits in the Divergent series and the Maze Runner.
I've seen Divergence. I haven't checked out Maze Runner yet. But Divergent was a while enough ago that I don't recall her. And the eyes don't
yeah.
help with recognition.
Oh, the eyes. Now, for some strange reason, Everything else in this movie is live action, but they CG Alita.
Yep.
Because for some reason, we apparently needed a photorealistic interpretation of the stereotypical manga eyes of from pretty much every anime ever.
But only for her.
Only for her, which is another problem.
Yeah, because I mean, it's based on a manga, and you would think that they would try to hold true to the series. So if they do the eyes for one, why not do the eyes for everybody else?
Or at least every other cyborg. Something that makes it like congruent to the rest of the world. But my question is this. This is a $200 million movie that no one really asked for. And they obviously spent a lot of that budget on CG.
Oh, they have to.
Of course. But what I want to know, was Amanda Seyfried not available? She already has manga eyes.
Oh my god, she would have been awesome for the role. I mean, she doesn't
CG necessary.
I don't know if she has the gymnastic ability to pull it off, but she actually would have been good for that role.
Oh no, like, if they can train Brie Larson for Captain Marvel, someone who I'm like 98% sure has not done an action film before this, I feel like they could have trained Amanda Seyfried for the physicality of this role.
Yeah, I don't know. Gymnasts have quite a different way of moving about them.
True, but I would just mean a different kind of training. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like she was doing Mamma Mia 3. She ain't that busy.
Yet.
So the movie opens on Cloud City, and like, I'm sorry, I can't even remember what the name of the city actually was.
Starts with a Z, I think.
Sure, yeah. I'm not even gonna bother looking it up because it's barely pronounceable and not really a huge plot point. But you look at it, and it's like, I'm sorry, that's Bespin.
Basically, it's the haves that have and the have-nots that are scraping by in Iron City. That one I got.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's this this city above a city that's being held up by, to quote, Edo Engineering. And we actually don't get to see it because no one goes up there. Because it's privileged.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because, like, we have Christoph Waltz starring as Alita's father.
Father figure.
Dyson Edo, which I don't know if that's a reference to inventor James Dyson or Miles Dyson from the Terminator series, but either way, it's a nice touch.
Yeah, they did just say inventor Dyson in the IMDb, so.
And Jennifer Connelly stars as her mother.
Shireen Connelly is Ito's ex.
Yeah. And again, note the air quotes. But basically, their biological daughter was,
Alita,
conveniently,
yeah,
was paralyzed before the start of the film, died, and she died before a cyborg body could be completed and she could be put into it.
Yes, she was actually murdered by... Now, Ito is cybernetic. He's a doctor, and he does a lot of repairs for the cyborgs in Iron City. So this is what he does, and one of his patients slash clients actually came to his clinic looking for drugs, and in the course of looking for the drugs, hurt Ito and killed Alita. And she was, as you mentioned, she passed away before she could use the body that he had built for her.
Basically, it's the standard free clinic in the ghetto. Somebody breaks in looking for a high, tragedy ensues, and plot moves on.
Yeah.
But, like, you did mention about how people from Iron City don't go up to the Cloud City. Now that's a major plot point here, but you see Jennifer Connelly, it's like, hold on a second!
Now, she and Ito actually are from Cloud City.
Yeah.
And their daughter's condition, they left Cloud City to go down below, I guess to help get treatment for her. That point wasn't very clear. But once they're down, they couldn't go back up. And Shireen stands out because she's got a little gem in her forehead, and that's what marks those from Cloud City.
Yeah, that's based... officially, it's a symbol of the upper class, which is interesting because I didn't notice one on Mahershala Ali.
But he's not up there.
He
works for Nova.
Yeah.
So technically... Was it Vortex? I think it was Vortex.
I think it was Vector.
There we go, Vector.
Vector when it's him, and then Nova when he gets possessed.
And you can tell the difference between because his eyes turn blue. So Vector, I don't believe, is up in Cloud City. I believe he's down below because that's where Shireen now lives. So
it's with him, it's hard to tell. But like I was saying, like, this jewel is the symbol of the upper class. But I spent half the movie going, you just liked the way that looked on your husband in Infinity War, didn't you?
I read that, yeah.
Because it's like, you see it on her. I think you see it on Nova. But he shows up so rarely, it's hard to remember.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was being played by Ed Norton.
Yeah, I didn't see that until the trivia. Like, that is an uncredited cameo.
Yep.
But where it's only on her, it's like, yeah, you just wanted one.
No.
But, you know, in terms of general thoughts, if this movie was not from an anime, if this was not, as Trevor told me after we saw it, probably the most faithful anime adaptation in modern cinema... Oh, this plot would be getting torn apart. So much.
It's... in the course of the movie, we discover that the Alita cyborg, not the human daughter, but the cyborg that the movie is based about, she comes off as a teenager, so about 15, 16,
yeah.
17 years old. But in actuality, she was around before the fall, which would place her at about 300 years old. Now, of course, cyborgs don't age, so she looks really good for her age.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a love story, adventure story, discovering who she is. And it's all of those typical stories that have been done and done and done. We have a cyborg who falls in love with the first cute boy she sees, who's Hugo.
And kind of an idiot.
Yeah, and you know, he's a little bit of a bad boy. He's got a bike, and he's got the leather jacket, and he's got the cool hair, and I mean, how can you not fall in love with him? He's just too cute. And Alita turns him from his bad boy life to, I want to be better because you make me want to be better. And, well, that pretty much gets him killed, which turns him into a cyborg, which ends up getting him killed. So
everything Paula just listed about the plot, it's probably more accurate to say the movie is trying to be those things. Because it's trying to be so many of those things at the same time that it doesn't develop any of those plot points.
Yep. It's like you're walking along this path, and then, ooh, squirrel! And suddenly it's into a new plot. And then, ooh, squirrel! And it's back over here. And you don't know if it's a love story, or a who am I story, or in an action movie. And it's trying to be everything, and it's not succeeding at being any one thing. Although, I mean, the action was cool.
Oh, the action was cool. The visuals are great.
Yeah.
It's... In some ways, it was exactly what I feared it was going to be, which is Avatar all over again.
See, and I don't have that comparison to work with.
Fair, but basically it's... When Avatar was having its monster theater run, the only thing people were really talking about was the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked amazing, but the second you gave the story any thought... it fell apart.
Okay.
Like, they establish and build on the fact that Alita has no memory of her life before Dyson activates her.
Yes.
To the point that she has no idea how to eat an orange, which was a cute moment. You know, I will grant them that. Apparently, she somehow magically remembers a lost cybernetic martial art that hasn't been seen in 300 years.
Well, that's muscle memory. I mean, that's... You've trained so long, and she is cybernetic, so how much of her brain is organic and how much of it is chip?
They do specifically say human brain.
Okay. But you train for years and years and years, and, like, I learned how to knit when I was 7, and I picked it up again, like, 3 years ago. That's not something you forget. So it's the same thing with martial arts. You train. That's not something that your body is going to suddenly forget. It doesn't matter if you have amnesia or not. It's just, it's like riding a bicycle. Literally, like riding a bicycle. So that's, I had no problem with that.
But I think even then, there were other instances. Like, there, I think, a split-second flashback of training... And then I could have gone, oh, that's where that came from. Okay.
Well, they did show that the split flashback of her in battle up on the moon.
They do, but it comes far too late. Because that flashback is far later than that first moment.
True, where she met what's his name.
Oh, I'm talking about like in their living room, like even before that.
I missed that one.
She starts at one point, she's in the living room and she starts doing what almost looks like Tai Chi. And then later on, there's the fight in the alley when she follows Ito.
No, I'm thinking sooner, because when she met the dog and she fed the dog, this is when she meets Hugo.
If it had just been her saving the dog and then the fight in the alley... Where we first really discover how much of a badass she is.
Yeah, where she's protecting Ito.
Yeah. Those both look instinctive. Mm-hmm. Those two scenes, I could have said, okay, she sees someone's life being threatened. Yep. She's instinctively reacting.
But you're right. She doesn't have the flashback until she's in the bar fighting. Right, okay.
But that sequence in her living room where she just randomly starts practicing and training is... There's nothing to really trigger that. It just happens.
It's pretty bad that I don't recall that actual scene. I mean, I recall one later on.
Yeah.
When she has the new body. But, yeah.
And I think that's another problem. For all the visuals and all the stunning CG work, it ain't that memorable.
Now, to be fair, I was engrossed in the movie, and I wasn't sitting there going, oh my god, I have to go pee, or, what time is it? I was engrossed and engaged in the movie. Again, the CGI was actually, I liked it. I liked the CGI. It is in every scene. You cannot escape the CGI because there's so many cyborgs, and all of them have parts that had to be CGI'd in. So, aside from that, I can understand why they had a huge budget.
Oh yeah, no, like, I mean, like, again, the visuals are wonderful.
I love the scroll work on her body.
Oh, yeah. Is everything behind the visuals?
Yeah.
I think is where it really suffers.
It's a little flat.
There are moments where, speaking of the fight in the bar, mm-hmm. We meet Ed Skrein's character, the kind of stereotypical...
Cocky little shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's kind of the most well-known of the... Hunter warriors, who they're bounty hunters. Like, if you're gonna rotate between the two terms, and they call them both, just
yes,
pick one.
They do.
So they introduce this sword that he carries around, mm-hmm. Super fine blade, cuts through anything, yada yada yada.
Well, it's really pretty.
It's
And Alita recognizes it in some form. But she doesn't understand why.
Yeah. And as soon as I saw it, all I could think of was the theatrical term of Chekhov's gun. Where if you introduce a gun in the first act of a play, it's going to be used later.
Yes.
I had never heard of Alita before this movie, never seen or read anything. The minute he pulled out that sword, I instantly went, okay, Alita's going to get that sword.
Well, yeah. It was her trophy.
Even before that was a possibility, yeah. You just go, yeah, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
There's so much here that it's really, on the one hand, it's really only going to truly work for you if you're an anime fan. But at the same time, it's almost too easy for someone who's not familiar with it to come into. Because there's so much, it's either laid out too clearly, or they figure, oh, this isn't gonna matter, we're just gonna have this just happen. There was one point where Hugo is gravely injured and Alita is hiding him in this church trying to figure out how to save him, and Jennifer Connelly just happens to be there.
Now, she was, her mission, her goal was to collect Alita. There was a bit of a tension between that whole story, because, and I mean, she sees the body, when she first sees Alita, she sees the body that she's wearing, instantly recognizes it for what it is, the body that was meant to be for her daughter. And she goes after Ito, and she's like, you were supposed to have gotten rid of that. And of course he couldn't, because it was work that he had done. It was his connection to his daughter. He wasn't ready to let go of his daughter. So that's already forming the foundation of Ito being her father figure, taking her under his wing. So Shireen already has an issue with that and sees her as a replacement for her daughter, and she's not happy with it. But by the end of the movie, she realizes that, you know, I'm not this cold, heartless bitch. I actually was a mom. And she recognizes in Alita that nurturing figure, that nurturing emotion that she used to have for her daughter. So when that's the whole conflict, I'm supposed to collect this body and reuse it for parts, but she's an actual person and I don't want to do that to her. And this is where we're at the church, is she's got to make that choice of, do I collect her and basically kill her, or do I let her be?
I think the thing there is, though, there's a lot of that, as the viewer, you have to work and put together yourself.
Yeah.
Because just watching it on screen, that change just happens.
Yeah.
There's no moment that sets it off.
There's not. There's no light bulb moment. There wasn't enough screen time to explain the change of emotion between Shireen and Alita. There wasn't enough screen time. So I'm wondering if that was some of the stuff that was cut out.
I think it could have been. I think story-wise, what it comes down to is where the, like we said, this takes from the first four manga books. I don't think they should have gone past the first two.
I understand why they did, though. I mean, the whole ending of the movie is her getting to the point where the next step in the story would be her going up top to the Cloud City.
But like all that said, though, and as much as I have been trashing this movie, because like in a lot of ways it's just stupid. And when it gets stupid, in places it gets really stupid. But at the same time, it is a fun movie.
It was. It was good. I mean, I would not sit here and say, don't go see it. Because I did enjoy it. And it might actually be one that I grabbed the DVD for.
Yeah.
Because it was cute. There was so much going on. And it was trying to fit too much into too short a time. It would have been nice to have it spaced out more, have it done up in two different movies, have it split off so that part of it was a sequel. I don't know where you would have split it. I really cannot look at one point and say that would be a good cutoff and save the next for the rest of it.
I think you could have done just Alita's origin as the A story, work in the love story with Hugo if you really have to have him. I'm sorry, he's kind of the worst part of the movie.
She's a teenage girl, you have to have a love story.
Yeah. And then just do the conflict with Cloud City as the B story. You don't... As cool as the motorball sequences were, you don't need them.
Apparently they were brought in later on in the manga.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Like Salazar, like she's great as Alita. Mm-hmm. Like adorable when she needs to be. Badass when she needs to be.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, almost too badass. Because the one major complaint that I had coming out of this movie was, I had fun. You know, I had a few good laughs. There are no stakes in this story whatsoever. Because the one and only time that Alita is truly in peril is during the final battle in Vector's office. She gets stabbed in the side.
And then nanotechnology makes it all better.
Within minutes.
Yeah.
But... I think with that and me having no idea how long we've been recording for at this point, I think we'll go into ratings.
Oh, I'm torn. I really am torn. I did enjoy the movie. There was, again, to reiterate, they tried to put so much,
yeah,
so much into such a short time frame. I think if I've actually got one friend who came back going, oh my god, the movie was great, and of course source material is always better. So now they're geared up to read the manga. If it were a novel, I probably would too. But I don't know, I'm torn. It wasn't a bad movie. It really wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't stellar. And I don't want to go middle of the road and go with a 3, because it just... 3 doesn't seem to quite suit how good the movie could have been. If that makes any sense. It's like a 3.5?
Yeah, that works. Okay. I mean, now, the thing for me is, obviously, I can't rate this movie on what could have been. And as much as, you know, like you, I had a lot of fun. But the movie is not good.
I just had the thought, because you have a really bad penchant for bad movies. You love bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't that bad that he loved it.
It's like it looks real pretty.
Yeah.
But I need to be able to go beyond that. This movie can't. And like I did get a lot of laughs out of this movie. It's not Robin Hood levels of accidentally hilarious. But If you're an anime fan, I would recommend it. If you're not, I really can't. And frankly, if you did enjoy this movie, I'm not gonna argue. I challenge you to leave a comment and explain why you enjoyed this movie. But you are not allowed to refer to the visuals in any way. Because I want to see somebody pull that off. Overall, I think... for me, this is a 3. It's... I cannot call it really good. But I had fun. And I can't hate it.
Yep. And that's where I had fun, but I can't hate it. That's probably the best way to, I don't know.
So, to wrap up, starting next month, will pretty much be the start of our Disney Fest.
Disney?
Well, we've got Captain Marvel next month.
Uh-huh.
Avengers Endgame in April.
Uh-huh.
And then in May... Oh, we are seeing the live action Aladdin.
We are seeing Aladdin.
Oh, we are seeing the live action Aladdin.
Will Smith is blue.
And as much backlash as his genie has gotten, hope to God they don't change anything. That's what we have coming up over the next few months. And amazingly, as much of a Marvel fan as I am, I think the thing I'm looking forward to the most is Aladdin.
I don't know.
I have been dying to see this.
I am looking forward to Nick Fury cooing over a cat. I saw that in the trailer.
That's fair.
And I'm like, okay, who would have thought that Nick Fury would have been a cat person? But no, he's right down there, and he's petting a cat, and he's talking to the cat, and he's like, look, I'll come back.
And until then, you'll see Trevor and I in this month's Pokemon Go Community Day video, which should be coming up soon. This month, of course, Swinub, or as anyone who only plays Pokemon Go would call it, Supply Day.
Again, I don't do Pokemon, so I have no clue what this is about.
Oh, where can people find you outside of this?
Oh, actually, I have my very first show of the year is coming up next weekend.
Oh, nice.
So I will be at the Cole Harbor Place for the 2019 Holistic and Psychic Fair that Myrna puts on every year. It's a great show. Social media wise, Twitter at symbol OOT Broom Closet, Facebook Out of the Broom Closet, Tumblr Out of the Broom Closet Fashions, and Instagram is Out of the Broom Closet, I think HFX. So,
I think before I turn this into any more of a train wreck, that's where we're gonna sign off.
Bye, guys.
Forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.
I want a hip-hop version of Never Had a Friend Like Me.
If Will Smith does not bring out a song to go with this movie, I will be... Will, I'm looking at you. You have to. If you don't, I will be very disappointed. We're gonna have to have a talk. Just because.
We're demanding a new Wild Wild West. The song, not the movie. I need to clarify that for the sake of my credibility. So...